Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study. The guy who's teaching tonight happens to be a really good friend. He has an amazing haircut. And so why don't you guys help me welcome Rick Mazza as he shares the word.
Good evening, Refuge family. How are you guys doing? Doing pretty good? Sound a little tired? I apologize if my voice is a little bit raspy right now. I just got back from a retreat with the young adult, Pastor Jason Vanderberg and Angie Vanderberg. They head up the young adults ministry here at Refuge, and it's just a fun time. So if you're wondering why I have this, it's because this is the emblem. It's pretty cool. We got these water coolers. Actually, do you call it that? No, it's more like a canopy, right? Is that the right term? Maybe? Help me out. Can't see. All right, you know what I'm talking about. So it has the emblem on it with Relevant, and so it's just really cool. We had a great time up at Julian, had some awesome time of just getting together away from distraction, and the theme was Ready to Fly. And so I thought about that. I was like, wow, it's so cool when the Lord brings times that you get to spend in the Word and times that you get to spend in fellowship, and He has just this reoccurring theme. And as we've been going through the book of Philippians, we're going to see that. We're going to just see how that relates with Ready to Fly. And you may be thinking, what the heck are you talking about? But it means to not get too comfortable with where we're at, knowing that this is not our forever spot. It's not our forever place. And so tonight's message is titled, To Strive or Not to Strive? That is the question. So if you want to go and open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at specifically verse 19 through 30. So I'll go ahead and give you a moment to turn there again. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it is Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Okay, so as we've been going through chapter 1 in the book of Philippians, we've been able to hear the joy behind Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. He is encouraged by how they love each other and prays that their love would continue to abound. He's confident that Christ, who began a good work, will be faithful to complete it. Although he's not sure exactly right now at this moment, which is better, there's a little bit of a battle in his mind that's going on that we're going to look into. He tells them in verses 19 through 30 that those who believe in Christ will not only experience salvation, but also endure suffering for his name's sake. Suffering for his name's sake. So let's go ahead and start with reading verse 19. It says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you, and continue with you all, for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake," or for his sake. "Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much, God, for just this opportunity to share your word, Lord. God, we know that your word in itself is so powerful, God, and there's nothing that we need to add to it or take away. God, it's simply what you spoke, Lord, is true. It's relevant to today, to right now in our lives. And so, Father, I pray that as we just dive in, as we get to talk as a family, to share what you've just been kind of showing me, Lord, that it would be something that would minister to the hearts that are here, God. Father, we thank you again that we can come together as a family, that we can be in this place where we have freedom and liberty to just worship you. Thank you again. Go before this time. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. All right. So what we just read right now is Paul continuing on with his letter to the church of Philippi. And obviously, he's impressed. We've been talking about how there's joy. He is so impressed by the fact that they love each other. I mean, it is a church that, man, if they do one thing right, it is loving one another. And when you see that, it's a beautiful thing, because what comes out of that, when you see a church and you see a body that loves each other, that cares for each other, people see that. It's contagious. It's infectious. You see that and you're like, whoa. If they're so happy and they're so joyful and they're there for each other and loving on each other, there must be something more than just meets the eye. There has to be something deeper. And not only to see it, but to say, hey, I want to be a part of it. I want to take part in that. And so as we read in verse 19, it says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I want to take a look really quick and focus on when he says his earnest expectation. What does that mean? What does that look like? When someone has an earnest expectation, what are some things that come to mind? Do you think that if you're expecting something, that means that you are intending that whatever's going to happen, there's going to be a result, right? So if you're going to ask for something, let's say, you know, you're going to ask for a new car, you're going to ask maybe to borrow a car, if that's the case, you expect an answer, correct? There's an expectation. And what I like here is that Paul has an expectation that as he's praying, he's saying, for I am certain that through Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed of, but with all boldness, I will also in Christ be magnified in the body, whether by life or by death. He is certain, and he's expecting that he will be able to magnify the Lord. And what does that mean? What does that look like? If he's expecting that, I think of, if anyone here has ever taken a biology class, we sometimes deal with microscopes, right? And so what you can do with the microscope is you look at an organism and you see it. And if with the naked eye, just looking at it, you think, okay, let's take a drop of blood, for example. You just see a red dot, you go, it's just blood. No big deal. What's the big deal? There's really no expectation, right? But once you put it under the microscope, it gets magnified. It's not that the microscope is doing something to it. It's already, there's a lot of stuff going on, but you're able to see it. And so what Paul's saying here in this expectation is that God has revealed himself to him. He's experiencing the joy of the Lord, even through suffering. And so therefore, all he wants to do is, he doesn't want to add to it or change or say something different. He just wants to magnify, show people what's already done. He wants to share the gospel. He wants to share the love that has been given to him by God. That is his earnest desire. That is his goal. And what's happening is he's coming across a lot of adversity. There's a lot of difficult things that have been going on ever since he decided to strive for Jesus, to move forward and say, Lord, I'm following you no matter what it means, no matter what suffering I have to endure. I choose to follow you. I choose to go forward with what you're putting in my heart to do. And so he wants to magnify, he wants to amplify that. He just wants to say, guys, take a look. You may just see this, you know, drop of blood, or you just may see like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I'm telling you, this God, he is so intricate. He is infinite. And the things he wants to do, the joy that he wants to provide in your life, is something so bigger than what you can imagine. And a lot of the times, I think that we get caught up, and we're going to look in the next verses, with this struggle of thinking, oh, Lord, well, I really don't want to suffer. Like, I like being comfortable. Am I alone in that? Is anyone here, do you like comfort? I mean, I will be the first one to raise both hands. I mean, I like comfort. And sometimes I think, well, okay, a little bit of a sacrifice, like maybe I'll dedicate this time for the Lord, or maybe I'll go out and witness for just a little bit, or whatever you want to do. And you're like, I'm gonna kind of suffer, but not really. And you contemplate these things, but you don't like the fact that if God were to say right now to tell you at this point, leave everything, leave every possession, leave everything you know, come and follow me. Would you do it? Would we do it? Would we, as Paul, come to this conclusion where we would say, man, there is nothing in this life that compares to the joy that I found in the Lord. There is nothing that comes close to what he's rescued me from. There is nothing here that I want to hold on to so tightly that I wouldn't bend to what he's asking me to do. I am willing to endure the suffering, the pain, the anguish, anything just to follow him, to share, to magnify what he's done. That was his desire. In the next verses, as we continue to read about his desire, he wants to bring honor to Christ. He notices that whether he continues to live or not, if he lives, he can bring honor to Christ by continuing his work as an apostle. If he dies, he will be a loyal witness to the strength of his faith, that Christ would be magnified. See, Paul had a goal. Paul's goal was to share the gospel of Christ, and he did not fear death. He recognized that his current suffering for Christ was necessary for the progress and joy of faith. He knew it was necessary. Now, if you caught what I just read, you might be thinking, okay, Rick, hold the phone. Did you just tell me that Paul doesn't fear or didn't fear death? That is a very bold statement. Who doesn't fear death? Or how do you get to a point where you think death doesn't matter? The suffering that leads to that doesn't matter if I can glorify God. How do you get to that mindset? It's a great question. And let's dive in a little bit more to see what we find. Starting with verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is needful for you." Paul realizes and gets to this way of thinking because he sees all the bad that sin has done. He sees the destruction, the despair, the hopelessness. And so he thinks to himself, man, this life is full of so much heartache, so much deception, heartbreak, grief, straight up agony that just hurts. So why am I here? God, I love you. You are my everything. You've rescued me. So maybe let me just go be with you. Let me just be done with this. Why continue to strive? Why continue to work towards something so hard, that's difficult, that is taking a lot of my time, my energy, my strength? Why continue in that when I'd just rather be with you? But he says, it is needful that I am here with you. Why does he tell the church that? He tells the church that it's needful for him to stay because he wants to continue to share. He wants people to still know, to magnify Christ, to say, hey, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that sent his son to die for you. And because of that, he wants intimate, one-on-one, personal relationship with you. And wants to provide you with a joy that this world can't even touch, can't get close to. And Paul gets to this way and he thinks, man, so it's more beneficial if I stay in my current circumstance, even though things are tough, even though I'm losing everything, the ones that I love, the ones that I hold dear. And Paul reminds himself, he changes his perspective. Instead of seeking comfort and instead of seeking the commodities of this world, he chooses to say, Lord, I will live for you. I will continue to strive for this relationship of sharing and proclaiming your gospel because that is where true joy is at. That is where true fulfillment is at. If you take a moment right now and just think in your head right now, if you could kind of just imagine, think of the highest pinnacle of life, the perfect life for you at this moment, whatever that may look like. I know that's different for everyone, and I'm going to throw a couple out there, but you may think, okay, if I just get this raise or this status or this promotion at work, this is what it looks like. It will lead to this. If I could just obtain these many exotic vehicles, I'm set. If I can marry this specific type A, type B, whatever person, I'm good. Whatever it is, if I could finish this with school, if I can move on to this estate, if whatever it is that you're thinking, whatever joy, let's say you get to that point, that pinnacle, right, that this life has to offer. Is that the best? We hear about people that are given this. Maybe you've experienced it yourself where you've attained certain things or a certain commodity, but it doesn't fulfill or bring the joy the way that Jesus does, the way that living for Jesus does. On the flip side, you may be here tonight and you're thinking, well, I've been a Christian, like I've been walking and it's just been tough. I constantly just get like bad news and more bad news, and things just keep getting worse and things aren't getting better. And I feel like I'm done. I just want comfort. I want to come in, I want to clock in, hear a good message, get some good worship, go to a good concert, hang out with my friends, and that's it. Like, I don't want to go any further. And you begin to get comfortable with that as well. And I say both of them, it's difficult to be in either spot, because at the end of the day, the suffering that you experience when you share the gospel of Jesus, when you do what he asks you to do, it produces that joy. It brings that joy that none of those other ones can. Whether it's the full-on secular, like all these ideas, hopes, dreams, aspirations, it's not going to bring. It's not the same joy. It's not the same. Or whether it's the one where you're doing everything right in ministry and you're going about your daily routine of reading your Bible, all those things, whatever that looks like, that's not going to bring the true joy either. It is through suffering. And Paul comes to this place where he's like, okay, so I have a choice now. Lord, it would be better. It would be better if I could just go be with you. It would be better if I could just be done with this suffering. But he says, but Lord, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm alive, as long as there are breath in my lungs, I choose to say, Lord, I'm going to strive. I'm going to press on. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to allow this fake copy, this duplicate of what sin has done, of what the enemy's trying to tell me, of what things should look like, of how life should be and how I should experience it. This isn't our eternal place. This isn't where we're staying. And if we ask, going back to when I asked you guys about how could Paul get to this point of thinking it's death and all those things, it's because he knew he had an eternal perspective, a heavenly mindset. And church, tonight, do we have a heavenly mindset? Do we have a heavenly perspective where we're saying, you know what? I'm not getting lost in everything that shines here on this earth and all the things that appear to be so great. I'm staying focused on what Jesus is asking me to do. And I know, and just a heads up, by reading his word, I know it's going to bring suffering. I know it is. I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to put me through the ringer. And I know I will get to a point where I will say, I just can't go any further. I need you, Lord, to step in. Or you'll maybe even walk away. To be honest with you guys, to share, like, I feel within these past months, it's just been this thing where I was seeking comfort. I was in my prayers and I was talking to the Lord. I was like, Lord, like, you know what? I just want to have fun. Like, and not anything too crazy, but like, I just want to hang out with friends. You know, obviously stay committed to my responsibilities with ministry and sharing about your word and about you with others. But you know, like, just keep it at that. Like, not go anything further. And God started to challenge. God was saying, Rick, if I were to ask you to do this, if I were to ask you to step into this role, if I were to ask you to leave this behind, to not deal with that anymore, would you do it? Or are you too attached to those things? Are you too attached to this idea of comfort, of being a comfortable Christian? And it's so difficult, because if I can be honest with you guys, I'm like, man, I'd rather continue that way. But then I'm reminded, just the way that Paul's reminded, of when we suffer and when we go through those difficult times, the beauty that comes out of it, what God does with it. By a show of hands tonight, who here can honestly say that through something you've gone through, whatever suffering, what that looks like, that God was able to use that to reveal his love, his mercy, his grace upon your life. Show of hands, who could say amen? Amen. I'm so stoked that that is the case. I'm stoked, and my hands are up too. Like, I don't want to just throw it out to you guys. There's beauty that comes out of the suffering. There's something so beautiful because you know what happens? We begin to start depending less on us and our circumstances, and we begin to depend on God, on the one who created us. We begin to trust him, and we begin to hold on tightly. And God, through suffering, and I look at examples in the past of my life, I'm like, man, that was a rough point in my life. That was a difficult trial. That it was heartbreaking. It was heart-wrenching. It was just something where I thought, man, I don't know if I can bounce back from that, but I'm going to keep on pressing. And I couldn't see it at that time. And sometimes God would give little glimpse of just like, hey, I'm here. And I love it when he does that. Because I'm like, God, you are so good that you not only expect me to trust you, but you give me these little, like, I call them sips of cool water when you're just parched, when you're dry. When you say, God, it's just too difficult. And he's like, hey, I'm with you. Maybe it's a simple prayer like, oh, I really wish, you know, this could happen. Or that, Lord, I could get this or that. I could feel this way or that. Instead of being sick for this long, it could just be like a minute and you would heal me. And he does those things. Or he brings people into your life that speak encouragement or a friend that you haven't seen in a while. Whatever it is, he does it. And I look at those examples and I go, Lord, you're with me. I keep on pressing. I keep on moving forward. I keep on striving. Just like Paul is striving, I'm going to strive to go after what you want for my life, to surrender it all to you. And so through those sufferings and when we go through those things, we could see that. And looking back in retrospect, I'm like, Lord, man, I'm a different person. But here's the thing, guys. It's not on my strength. It's not me that's trying to change something. It's not me that's trying to rearrange and prioritize. No, I'm just simply coming to God, and these sufferings hit, and I'm choosing to trust and strive and say, I'm going to give him my all, Lord. I'm going to keep on pressing forward. And he begins to do this change, this work. And you look back, and I'm all, whoa, if I would have never gone through that suffering, if I would have never experienced that pain or what that felt like or just that agony, the anguish, whatever that is, if I didn't experience that, God, I wouldn't be experiencing you in this rich way that I do now. You become alive. You become real. You don't just become this God that I come to worship on a Sunday. You don't become this God that I talk about on occasion to friends or family. You become my personal Savior. Therefore, when you ask me to do something, when you ask me to move forward, to step in faith, I can say, I will trust you. I will trust you wholeheartedly. I will strive, I will commit, and if I fall, I will get back up, and I will continue to move forward, because true joy, the true, genuine joy that God has purposed for our life, not the temporary joy, not the stuff that satisfies only for a moment, for a season, for a minute, for hours, whatever it is, not that kind of happiness. The joy that comes from the Lord is something that comes only from him and through surrendering to him and enduring through those sufferings. Like Paul saying, hey, if I'm alive and I'm here and I'm breathing, my life, it's for you, Christ. It is for you. I will go where you want me to go. Send me where you want to send me. Ask me to do whatever you want to do. And tonight, how many of us can say that? How many of us can be like Paul and say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to strive. I choose to endure the pain. You know, like I said earlier, nobody enjoys pain, right? Nobody likes the suffering, the hurt. You don't hear people go into drive-thrus and say, yeah, let me get a number two with the side of agony and pain and I'll supersize it. You know, give me that pie of anguish. Sounds pretty good today. Cut me a slice of that. You know, I'll take it. You don't hear those things because nobody likes it. Nobody likes the going through it and suffering and be like, oh yeah, I'm suffering. Everything's going wrong. Woo. Yeah. Who's with me? You know, and throw up the little sign and people are following you. No, it's not like that. Nobody really wants the suffering and the pain. But I'm here to tell you there's something beautiful that comes out of it. You better believe it. There's something so beautiful that only God can do. And if you choose, the choice is yours. The choice is yours to say, hey, I'm going to strive and I'm going to press on, or I'm just going to stay defeated. I'm going to stay right where I'm at. And I want to share something with you guys that if you stay where you're at, if you think, hey, I'm just going to give up, I've done my time, I've clocked in, I did what I need to do, let me tell you something. It's a scary place to be because it's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. How do I know that? I'm going to share a verse from John chapter 10, verse 10. And what I love is that within this sentence, God so quickly reminded me of the enemy's plan for our lives and God's plan for our lives. It says in John 10, 10, quick reminder of the enemy's plan. If you don't know it, heads up, spoiler alert, this is what he wants. It's not good. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh yeah, those are great, great adjectives. I like that. I like the sound of that. No, we don't like the sound of that. The enemy, the thief, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants you dead. He doesn't want you to experience the true joy and fulfillment that God has for your life. So what does he do? He says, be comfortable. Stay where you're at. God really doesn't want you to do that, anything too drastic, too dramatic. I mean, you're doing your thing. You're going to church on Sunday. You're talking to people. You're sharing his gospel. You're doing all these things. Like, don't worry about it. You don't have to do anything else. That's where he wants to keep you. It is a lie. He is trying to rip you off, to rip you off from the true joy that God has. And God's saying, look, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, I'm finished. Say, you know what, God? Help me. Walk me through this. I commit to you. I surrender to you. I want you to lead me, guide me, walk me through. And you know what? Like Paul says, like the Lord says right up front, he's going to be honest. You've been given salvation. I've saved you. But don't be surprised when you suffer. You will suffer according to my name's sake. And that's a scary thought because, like I said, I don't want to suffer. You don't want to suffer. But God says it'll happen because he is refining us. He is polishing us. He is making us into a reflection of him. When people come up, sometimes they'll say, oh, like, yeah, you're so nice. Like, I've never, on the retreat, someone was like, do you get mad? I've never seen you get mad. Can you get mad right now for me? I'm like, no, I'm not going to get mad. But I do get mad, believe it or not. Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I'm human. We all have those emotions of anger, frustration. Totally. Like, it happens. But it's funny because they say those things, and then they're like, oh, man, I'm so blessed because the way you prayed for me or the way you shared verse or thank you for this. And honestly, guys, letting you inside my head, we're totally going to go inside out right now where you could see, like, the machines, like, the little characters working in my head of, like, controlling all the feelings and emotions. I get so shocked because I'm like, really? Like, because when I'm frustrated and angry, I'm not really that nice to be around. When I feel like all hope has abandoned me, like, I'm really not that much of an encouragement. But, I'm excited because that means I see that as God doing a work that only he can do. And so it's like, Lord, thank you. Thank you that even in that, if I see any transformation, any change from the greedy, selfish person that I am, it is because of you. And the suffering that has gone before me and the things that I have endured, you have done it with a purpose to change me. And in the end, that is what I want. At the end, that is what Paul wants. He wants to be a reflection, to live for Christ, not for himself, not for his own ambition, not to get ahead and be a part of this group of elite people. That's not what it is. He wants to just proclaim God's good gospel, to experience that true joy, to live for Christ in every facet of his life, not leaving anything behind, not leaving anything out. And like I said, we heard the enemy's plan, right? He wants to, what was it? Steal, kill, and destroy. We don't like them, but that's the truth. That's what it is. That's what he wants to do, steal, kill, and destroy. And on the flip side, we continue reading in the verse. It says, God's plan says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Wow. Jesus came that we would have life abundantly. We can so many times think, man, Lord, this is not happening. Life is not cool right now. This is not good. What do you mean life and abundantly? He's like, well, I'm not talking about this life. This life is short. Let's say you're given 70 to 100 years. Let's go wild. Let's say 150. You're all going to live to be 150. What is that in comparison to eternity? What is that in comparison to forever? If you caught that reference, major brownie points. Forever. That is what God promises, life abundantly with him. And where is it? It's at a place where there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more broken nails for you ladies out there, because I know those can be a pain. I hear those things are painful. None of that. No more suffering. No more pain. No more hurt. No more heartache. No more anguish. That is the life in abundance that he is talking about. That is the life that we strive for. That is where we need to wrap our minds to say, okay, I am living for that life. And it's not only about me and God and making it there, but I want to bring as many people with me, because what is God's desire? His desire is that all would come to repentance. Not a portion, not one, not two, not a select few, not a section. All, that all of us would come to repentance. He wants salvation for all. He wants everyone to experience that joy, but it's up to us, like Paul, to say, I choose to take this stand. I choose to strive, to move forward, to press on, to not give up, to say, Lord, it is tough, it is difficult, but you're going to work it out. And I don't mean if in any way anyone is offended or you think, well, you don't understand the things that I'm going through. There's no way that you could get the type of sorrow that I've experienced. Like, you may think it's funny that you could just say, oh yeah, be happy, it's in the sufferings. I want to tell you tonight that that's not true. I don't in any way want to undermine the sufferings that you're going through, because they're legit and they hurt and they're painful and it is tough and it is difficult. But I'm telling you tonight, you have a choice. You have a choice to allow those circumstances to keep you there and prevent you from experiencing God's joy, or you have a choice to surrender it and press forward and strive and say, Lord, here are these sufferings, but I choose to move forward with you. I choose to go forward with your plan in my life. I choose not to be killed, not to be destroyed, not to have anything robbed, but to have life and to have it abundantly. Paul's goal was to live for Christ, not only to have a one-on-one relationship. And so the question is, what is your goal today? And what is preventing you from following it? What is holding you back? What's the worst case scenario in your mind? I'll tell you what, it usually boils down to death. Nobody wants to die. No one wants to experience that. Of all the things you just want to avoid, like, no, we want to live. We want to continue and be comfortable and all these things. And when it boils down to that, you think, well, I don't want to experience death. And nobody wants to experience death. And that's okay, because it wasn't meant for us. God wanted us to live. But realize that your life here, should that time come, whether it be now, later, sooner or later, whenever it comes, it's not the end. Death for the world, it's over. There's nothing else left. For us, for the believers that choose to commit to Jesus, we got a long way to go. We have heaven waiting for us. We have a place where there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, none of that. We will be so joyful knowing that the Creator that created us, that knows us, that just every little part, the personality, he's there with us. And we can rejoice with believers. We can say, you know what? Death is scary. It sounds like something I don't want to experience or would like for anyone to experience. But hey, if that's where it leads me, for just sharing God's love and sharing his gospel, then like Paul, and I'm going to go through those things and that suffering, then hey, bring it on. Bring it on, because what does it say in verse 21? And if we can all read it out loud, starting verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We gain. When we pass from this life to the next, we are with him. We are rejoicing. We are excited. We're glad. We know that the joy that we, any glimpse of maybe happiness experience here, is nothing in comparison to that. But as long as you're here, guys, as long as we are breathing and as long as we're on this earth, we have a choice. And in our mind, like Paul, we have that decision to make. Will I strive and move forward, or will I stay where I'm at? Sometimes what God's asking you to do, it may be something radical and completely, you know, hey, journey to the other side of the world. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's something as easy as love your neighbor. No, literally, like your next door neighbor, like if they're a pain and they do things that you don't agree with, love them. Show them that you're different. Show them that, hey, I have a God that loves me, cares for me, and he cares for you too. And instead of being like, oh, my neighbor hates me, he did this, and you walk around and you mope around and you're like, Lord, why don't you remove this from me? Take this trial away. Rejoice in it. Rejoice and be like, God, I know that you're doing something good. You're teaching me to love like you love. You're teaching me to have a heart like you have a heart, to see people the way that you see people. And that's what we want. That's what Paul wanted to be, to live for Christ, to strive to move forward. He didn't fear death because he was living for the eternal. And so what fear holds you back today, whatever fear that is, bring it to God. Bring it to him. Whether you want to change it or not, come to him. Whether you're, like I said, in that group that says, well, I'm good where I'm at, still come to him. Or if you say, hey, I'm burnt out, come to him. Or I've never tried this before. Like, I've tried other things, but I've never accepted Jesus. I don't know what that is. I've never acknowledged him as my Lord and Savior. Try it. Come to him with honesty. He doesn't want you to change and manipulate and fabricate and, like, purposely go through these hard times. He wants you to experience true joy, not the knockoff, not the ripoff. Not what the world puts out as joy, his true everlasting joy. It says in James 1:2-4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. God wants to perfect. He doesn't just want to make you a little bit better. He doesn't just want to, like, bring you through this little trial and little suffering. He wants to perfect, bring you back to where you have life. And not only just this life, but life in abundant, eternal life with him. And the other cool part as we continue reading, when you strive for Christ, that I wanted to share is that we have brothers and sisters here tonight and all over that are with us. That are with you, that want to do life with you, that want to strive with you, because it's tough. And he says that, Paul says, that you are striving, that you would be with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. One mind striving together. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that, that you want to strive and move forward with your fellow believers, saying, man, we got this. I know it's a tough week. I know it's a tough day. I know you feel like throwing in the towel, but keep on going. This won't be here forever. We won't be suffering forever. It won't be like this forever. I want to go ahead and show you a little clip. I'm going to call it a GIF. Who's heard of a GIF here before? Actually, you might know it by GIF, because that is the correct term. I say GIF, because for some reason, GIF just doesn't have that ring to it. Like, that sounds like peanut butter to me. But GIF, like, sounds better. But if you really look it up, I think the people who made it, like, they call it a GIF. But basically, it's an animation that moves. But I want to show you guys two examples of races where people got comfortable. They were striving. They were giving it their all. And then something happened. Look at this guy's racing. He's ready to finish. And boom, gets passed up. What just happened? You think, oh, he lost the race. No, more happened. He was so confident, so comfortable, running, thinking, hey, I'm striving, I'm good. Oh, hey, all's good. Start cheering for me. Yeah, we're done. Gets passed. The enemy wants that for you. He wants you to get comfortable. He wants you to not strive. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to say, forget it. I forfeit. I don't want to go any further. And you're going to get passed up. You're going to miss out on what God has. Another example really quick. We have a skier where, same thing. He was almost there. He was excited, hands up, and bam, the guy on their side got him. Got comfortable. Guys, we get comfortable and we think, oh, God, like, I'm good, this is good. But God wants us to strive. And so I encourage you guys tonight to strive. I encourage you to move forward. I encourage you to not be afraid. And I'm walking this with you as well. I'm not saying this because I'm like, oh, yeah, look at me. I've strived and I'm the other dude. No, I'm with you guys. We're together. We're united. Let's strive. Let's live for Jesus like Paul did. Let's say that, hey, this life, as difficult as it gets, I choose to come to Jesus with suffering, with everything, because he has a better plan. He has joy for my life. I choose to do that. I choose to move forward, to press on, to not give up.
Choose that. If you're a believer tonight, choose it because it is an unspeakable, beautiful joy, and God will reveal himself in such a beautiful way to you, just like he did to Paul. And you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to say, to live in this life is Christ. I want to give you my everything, God, because you are so worthy of it. And should I die, well, then, hey, it's a party because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be chilling. I'm going to be in this beautiful place with you. Don't give up. It's your choice to choose to strive or not strive. And I pray that this would be a church where we would strive together and move forward with what God has. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you again so much for this time. Thank you that you just allowed for your word, God, to be shared. And God, I thank you because it has nothing to do with me, Lord. It has nothing to do with us. As we talked about in the retreat, Lord, even if you call us to be what looks like to the world as a fool for you, Lord, may we do it gladly, God. May we do it gladly to say that we want to live for you, God. We don't want anything to hold us back. We don't want anything to drive us away, to keep us in a place of just being comfortable. We want to be living for you, and whatever that looks like, God, may we do it. May we be people that are choosing to commit, to want to follow you, to share your gospel, to experience true joy the way that you intended it. Thank you for this time again. We love you, we praise you, and God's people say, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.